Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. Recently, it was my privilege to preach in a gospel meeting at Richmond, Kentucky. Since the church building at Richmond was in the process of being remodeled and expanded, all the services were held on the campus of Eastern Kentucky State University. During my stay in Richmond, I bought and read the Lexington Herald Leader and the Louisville Courier Journal, two newspapers with which I am quite familiar. I took the Courier Journal for several years when Molly and I lived in Western Kentucky. On the Saturday I was in Richmond for the meeting, the Lexington Herald Leader had six articles on the front page, and only six articles. Please listen carefully to the subjects and a brief summary of those articles. One of the articles took note of the fact that businesses across the country are donating big bucks to aid Bob Packwood, the powerful senator from the state of Washington who has been accused of sexually harassing women. Companies like Southwest Airlines, ARCO, Turner Broadcasting, Seagram Company, and Amoco sent money to Bob Packwood. The Packwood donations have amounted to almost $300,000. Pages A1 and A10. A second article dealt with H.R. Haldeman, one of the Watergate figures who had just died in his home in Lompoc, California. Haldeman was arrested and convicted for attempting to plant electronic eavesdropping equipment at the offices of the Democratic National Committee's headquarters in the Watergate office and house complex in Washington, D.C., pages A1 and A10. The third article had the title, Police, Drug Agents, Guide Pot Shipment Toward Corbin Deal. Louisiana State Police, the National Guard, the Air Force, and federal drug agents made sure a shipment of Mexican marijuana got to Corbin, Kentucky on time. When the shipment of marijuana arrived at Corbin, Drug Enforcement Administration agents from Lexington were on the scene and arrested three men on charges of marijuana distribution. Pages A1 and A10. The fourth article told of ex-judge Larry Collins, who got 5 years for taking a bribe. Judge Collins was convicted for accepting a bribe of money and of marijuana to protect a drug dealer. The judge had served Letcher County, Kentucky for 10 months and was considered a pillar of strength in the county. What a tragedy when a judge is willing to violate the law in taking a bribe. One of the great heroes of faith in the Old Testament was Samuel, a judge and a prophet among God's people. Please listen to what the Bible says about Samuel's sons. His sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted judgment. 1 Samuel 8:3. The fifth article from the Lexington, Kentucky Herald Leader reports the death of an actor, River Phoenix. This young actor was enjoying great success and had a promising career in front of him. According to the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office, River Phoenix took overdoses of cocaine and heroin. The coroner reported that the actor had high levels of cocaine and morphine in his blood. Tests also found lower levels of Valium, marijuana, and ephedrine, a substance found in co-medications. Page A1. The final article in the Lexington paper told of the accusations made against Cardinal Joseph Bernardin of Chicago. Stephen J. Cook of Philadelphia said the Cardinal had sexually abused him while Bernardin was serving as a priest in Cincinnati in the 1970s. I have no way of determining whether or not the Cardinal is guilty, and that is not my purpose in mentioning this incident. I just wanted you to see what one American newspaper printed on the front page on one Saturday in November of 1993. How do you think intelligent and concerned young people might react when they read these six articles on the front page of one newspaper? Do you think our young people might get the impression that the whole country is going criminally insane? President Clinton probably did not have these particular crimes in mind when he made his regular weekly broadcast over radio. The Tennessean, Sunday, December the 12th, 1993, quoted Bill Clinton as saying concerning crime in the United States, "Guns, drugs, and violence fill a vacuum where the values of civilized life used to be and call for great emphasis on work, family, and community." Page 18a. Is our president so blind that he cannot see a connection between his support of abortion on demand, his attempts to make homosexuality as normal and natural as heterosexuality, and his opposition to many other biblical values and the increase of crime in this nation? Are we not simply reaping what we have been sowing since the 1960s and the 1970s? I am sure that all American parents, certainly those under the sound of my voice, do not want their children involved in killing, in drug use and distribution, in drinking and driving, and in homosexual conduct. But what if you wanted your child to become a criminal? What steps should you take to assure the success of his criminal endeavors? Several years ago, the Houston, Texas Police Department published a little leaflet with the title, 12 Ways to Raise a Hoodlum. This article came to me from a church bulletin published by the Paoli Church of Christ in Paoli, Indiana, where my friend Roger Hablett was preaching at the time. Please listen to these words from the Houston Police Department. First, if you want your child to grow up to be a hoodlum, begin in infancy to give the child everything he wants. He will then grow up to believe the world owes him a living. Have you known parents who simply would not deny their children whatever the children wanted? Obviously, some of these children do all right in spite of their parents' indulgence of them. But the tragedy is that many of these children expect their parents or the government or the church to keep on taking care of them. Unfortunately, many of these young people become involved in stealing, in robbery, and in selling drugs to get what they believe life owes them. The increase in crime in the United States cannot be blamed on this one mistake of parents, but there is hardly any question that it contributes to crime. There are very few children and young people who can be spoiled in such a fashion without its affecting their outlook on life and on work. Second, when your child picks up bad words, laugh. This will make him think he is cute. It will also encourage him to pick cuter phrases that will blow off the top of your head later. School teachers in the public schools tell me that many of our children in the elementary schools and in the high schools use language which would make a seasoned sailor blush. They often call their teachers names that are degrading and demeaning. Do you know what my parents would have done if I had ever used that kind of language? One of my older brothers used some foul language on one occasion. My mother heard it and washed out his mouth with Octagon soap. Parents, do you understand the source of foul, filthy, and disrespectful language? Jesus explains so clearly that anyone ought to understand. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Matthew 12:34-37. no child should ever be permitted to use dirty words or to speak disrespectfully of anyone. Even so, the tongue, James says, is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. James 3:5-6. Third, never give him any religious training. Wait until he is 21, and then let him decide for himself. Don't be surprised if he decides to be nothing. There are hundreds of psychologists, psychiatrists, and sociologists who discourage parents from imposing their own religious views on their children. That really is no different from what happened in Russia during the days when communism was in control. The parents could go to the worship services, but they could not take their children, and they could not even teach the children about God and about the Bible at home. In many cases, children were removed from their homes and placed in state-operated orphanages when the communists learned the parents were teaching them religion. A.S. Neal, who operated a school in England, would not allow religion to be taught in his school. He did not believe children should be disciplined, nor that moral instruction should be given. He had no objection to children's reading pornography, and insisted that sexual promiscuity was not a moral issue at all. A.S. Neal was an avid admirer of Dr. John Dewey, one of America's most liberal educators. Neither Neal nor Dewey wanted to teach responsibility to children. We are now reaping the result of not teaching our children religious and moral values. We have sown to the wind and are reaping the whirlwind. Hosea 8:7. Fourth, avoid using the word wrong. It might develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later, when he is arrested for shoplifting or stealing a car, that society is against him and he is being persecuted. Have you noticed how reluctant preachers in our pulpits are to call any kind of behavior wrong? Teachers in many of our colleges, men on talk show hosts, and other leaders in our country are fond of saying, in effect, "You have your truth, and I have mine. What is true to you may not be true to me." Research in recent years has found that the majority of Americans do not believe there is such a creature as absolute truth. Abortion, homosexuality, premarital sex, stealing, lying, adultery are not absolutely wrong. It always depends on the situation. If there are no absolutes, why would it be wrong to steal from a business, to sell or to use drugs, to abuse a child, as Cardinal Bernardin has been accused of doing, to take a bribe to pervert justice, or for H.R. Haldeman and his henchmen to attempt to break into the Democratic National Committee's offices in Washington? Are these activities really wrong, immoral, inherently immoral, or are they just inappropriate and inconvenient for the victims? Is it always wrong to murder? Are right and wrong determined by the situation? Always. Fifth, pick up everything he leaves lying around. His books, shoes, and clothing. Do everything for him so he will become experienced in throwing all responsibility on others. A.S. Neal, whom I mentioned a moment ago, thought children ought not to be required to do anything until they were 18 years of age. Neal's students in his school in England were not required to get out of bed in the morning, to go to class, to prepare their lessons, or even to wear clothes. No approach to education could be more destructive and more foolish than this. Most American parents, I am convinced, would object to Neal's philosophy of education. And yet there are thousands of parents in our country who do not teach responsibility to their children. Parents sometimes say, "I do not want my children to have it as tough as I had it." In many cases, that toughness was what made them into men and women. Obviously, parents can be too hard on their children. But that almost certainly is not a major problem with most middle-class families in the United States. Many of our young people grow up not knowing how to do anything, at least not doing it well. 6. Let him read any printed matter he can lay his hands on. Make sure the dishes are sterilized, but allow his mind to feast on garbage. The scriptures speak plainly on the need to keep filth out of our minds. Solomon wrote these words almost 3,000 years ago, but they are as true today as they were then. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Our actions and our words come from our hearts. How could anyone doubt the necessity of keeping our hearts pure? Paul instructed Timothy to be an example of the believers in purity. 1 Timothy 4:12. He also said to young Timothy very succinctly, "Keep yourself pure." 1 Timothy 5:22. How can any person, young or old, keep himself pure when he indulges in salacious literature, in R and X-rated movies, and in other titillating activities? Many parents, including some Christian parents, are allowing Hollywood to set the moral and spiritual standards for our children, and in too many cases, for adults also. The violence our young people are seeing in the movies, on television, in their schools, and on the streets is producing criminal behavior which is absolutely out of control. Politicians, educators, and law enforcement people are jumping up and down in frustration about the increase in crime among the young. What is so troubling about crime in the streets of America, if there are no absolutes? Why do we not go back to what will work and has always worked? Teach our children about God. Give them stable and strong homes. Punish them severely when they break the law. A slap on the hand for criminal behavior will not deter anyone from further lawbreaking. Schools across America must be brought under control, must be, or there is no future for our country. We must elect officials, local, state, and national, who have biblical moral values and who live by those values. There is no hope otherwise. 7. Have plenty of knock-down, drag-out fights in the presence of your children. Then, after you are divorced, they will not be surprised. How much of the violence in our schools and on our streets can be traced directly to the violence which children see in their homes? There is no way of knowing for sure, but there is bound to be a relationship. When a child sees his father slap or kick his mother, what is to prevent his doing the same for those who are smaller and weaker than he? Spouse abuse, incidentally, is passed from one generation to the next. Almost 15 years ago, I counseled with a young woman whose husband was physically abusing her. I learned from our sessions together that the husband's father beat his mother, and he had a brother who was also beating his wife. It runs in the family. Differences between the husband and the wife are going to arise. I believe there are no exceptions to that. But disagreements can be handled in a civilized manner. In fact, young people need to see some conflict in the home so that they will know how to resolve conflict in their own lives. Children do not need to see fighting, yelling, and other forms of spouse abuse. 8. Give the child all the spending money he wants. Never let him earn his own. Why should he have things as tough as you had them? My parents were poor and could not give us what we wanted, although they always gave us what we needed. when I left home to go to college. My father gave me $83 for my first quarter's tuition. After that, I had to work for my college expenses and for personal expenses. I do not remember thinking I was deprived. My father did not pay more because he did not have more. Working my way through college and graduate school was character building. It was not always easy, but it was good for me. 9th. Satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort. See to it that every sensual desire is gratified. Childhood should be fun. Denial could lead to harmful frustration. Many parents create an atmosphere in the home where children believe they are the very center of the universe and should not be denied any pleasure their hearts desire. Even though we may know inwardly that such coddling of our offspring can be destructive of character, we do not want to disappoint and frustrate our children. As they grow into maturity, they expect society to grant their every wish. If they fail to get what they want, in many cases, they take it, even if they have to resort to violence to obtain it. Could this hedonistic attitude explain the tremendous increase in virtually every form of crime, armed robbery, rape, auto theft, bank robberies, and such like? If children are accustomed to having their every desire gratified by their parents, it should not surprise us if they become selfish, egotistical, and primarily look out for number one. If one's married partner does not fulfill every whim and wish, we are justified in casting him or her off and finding someone who will meet our needs, at least for a while. There can hardly be any doubt that this attitude has contributed to the proliferation of crime of all kinds. 10th. Take the child's part against his neighbors, playmates, friends, teachers, and policemen. They are all prejudiced against your child. Our public schools have never been in greater trouble in this nation than they are right now. Our children and young people are not learning to read, to write, and to think. Hundreds of thousands of our high school graduates are functionally illiterate. But when teachers attempt to help young people, to discipline them for their rudeness, violence, and plain meanness, many of the parents accuse the teachers of discriminating against their children. They even bring lawsuits against the teachers and principals when the teachers spank children who desperately need spanking. I'm sure many of you older people in my audience today had the same kind of parents I had. My parents informed us children that if we got a spanking at school, there would be a worse one waiting at home. Frankly, I did not want a spanking at school, although I have to confess that occasionally I did get one. But the spanking I feared was waiting at home. My father and mother supported the teachers, the principals, and others who were charged with the responsibility of teaching and leading their children. What a tremendous difference parents could make in our public school systems if they required their children to be respectful of their teachers and demanded of the teachers that they discipline all children. We will have to come to that, or our public schools cannot survive, nor should they. 11th. When your child gets in trouble, apologize for yourself by saying, "I never could do a thing with him." Does it bother you when you see a child kick and slap his parents, throw his toys across the room, yell and scream at his parents, and then have the parents to say, "We just cannot do anything with Johnny"? I'm not pretending that Molly and I were perfect parents. There really are no such creatures. But our 2-year-olds or 10-year-olds or 18-year-olds did not behave that way at our house. We have effective solutions for problems like that. In the first place, our boys knew we would not countenance that kind of behavior. It would have embarrassed me to have to admit, "I just cannot do anything with my boys," That, my friends, is a cop-out, not only in the sight of men, but especially in the sight of the Lord. 12. Prepare for a life of grief. You are apt to have it. Incidentally, these 12 rules from the Houston, Texas Police Department do not always work in making a hoodlum. As a rule, they probably are successful much of the time. But antisocial and criminal behavior is still a matter of choice on the part of the individual to participate. There are many influences which have a bearing on our conduct. The homes where we are reared, the schools we attend, the communities in which we live. But, ultimately, every person chooses his course of action. The Scriptures could not be more explicit on this truth. Choose this day whom you will serve, Joshua told the Israelites, Joshua 24:15. But it is a major tragedy when parents do not use their time, talent, and energy to help their children to choose the right path in life. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Ultimately, every person is responsible for his own behavior. But parents should do their best to help their children to grow into manhood and womanhood. My friends, we thank you for listening today. Please continue to listen. Until the next time we're together, may God richly bless you.